A brouhaha in the NBA. Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, filling in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. Today, I'm joined by a couple of our insiders, Ramona Shelburne in studio with me, and of course, our friend Mark Spears of The Undefeated. Ramona, were you surprised to see that side of Trez last night?
Trez? No. OG Anunoby, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I guess that's what Dennis Schroeder gets for trying to be a nice guy. Like, he's literally trying to hold him up.
Yeah.
He's like, I followed you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hold you up. OG's like, nope. I'm a bodice. I don't know if that was just like frustration in the way that they've been playing, or, but dang. But I like that Trez ran in there. That's Trez's, I mean, that's kind of his MO.
It is weird, Mark, because Anunoby like was still holding him. He didn't like try to slam him like a wrestling move, Mark.
Yeah, and OG has probably the greatest poker face in the NBA, man. Don't sleep on Gary Trent Jr. And if you know his pops, he's probably a tough guy, too. So don't sleep on that skinny Duke kid.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, coming up, Joel Embiid dropped 35 on the Celtics in a win last night. When he's healthy, is there any answer for him in the Eastern Conference? We'll get to that in a minute. But first, back to the Lakers, who ended up winning last night, despite Montrezl Harrell getting tossed early. So they're now in the fifth spot in the Western Conference. Ramona, we'll take a look at the standings here in a second. But do you trust the Lakers to avoid the play-in scenario?
I don't.
Oh.
I don't. They have a really tough schedule coming up. If you look at the games that they have upcoming in the next couple of weeks, when you see that LeBron James, Anthony Davis probably still going to be out, there's some chance that Anthony Davis comes back after this five-game road trip, or that we start to see him sooner rather than later. But look how close this is. And the Mavericks are surging. They have one of the best records in the league the last couple of months. Like, this is going to be very tough for them to evolve here. And I think the key to everything for the Lakers right now, while LeBron and Anthony Davis is out, is Dennis Schroeder. This is the guy where last year you could comfortably say you're not sure exactly who the third best player in the Lakers is. And night to night, it's a little bit different. But Dennis Schroeder is supposed to be the guy. And he certainly wants to get paid like the guy this summer. He turned down an $84 million extension. So if he's looking for $100 million, if you want to be that third guy and your two best guys are out and you're an upcoming free agent, this is your time to shine. There is a lot of pressure, I think, on Dennis Schroeder to show that he can be the type of point guard, the type of player that can carry the Lakers while AD and LeBron are out. And so far, I haven't seen it. Like, he looks like a nice complimentary player. If you look at his stats, they look fine. But in terms of leadership, when they get down, let's rally the troops. In terms of energy, night in and night out, that's what LeBron James and Anthony Davis do. They bring it when they're down on a Tuesday night in Tampa. Right, and this is when you show that you can be a star in this league, and I think that's a lot on Dennis Schroeder right now.
I trust the Lakers. Hey, look, I do expect Damian Lillard and the Trail Blazers to leapfrog them, but while Dallas has been playing well, they won five in a row. I just don't trust Dallas and the rest of the teams under Portland to really get the Lakers in trouble. The one thing I am nervous for the Lakers and actually the Clippers, if the Lakers do drop the six, there is a possible Lakers-Clippers first-round matchup.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say that again. A possible Lakers-Clippers first-round matchup, which I don't know if either team wants that. I don't know if that's great for the NBA for them to be in the first round, but that certainly is not out of the realm of the possibility right now.
So, Ramona, let me ask you about Anthony Davis, because we've seen him do some workouts, right, pregame, and, you know, we're hearing that, you know, perhaps mid-April could be a timeline for him, for his return. What do we know about Anthony Davis right now?
Well, look, the Achilles injury is something that you don't want to mess with in the NBA, and I think everybody, when you point to the Achilles injury, you look at Kevin Durant, and we heard a lot of the same things. You know, it was a calf injury, it was this, but there is some optimism that he can come back after this five-game road trip that they're on in some form or fashion. But it's going to be based off of how he feels when they ramp him up. Right. So he's doing stuff now. And, yeah, if everything goes to plan, if he feels good, there is a chance he comes back when they get home. But we got to see how he feels when they ramp up the activity level.
Mark, let me ask you real quick about AD and just kind of how cautious you would be if you were in that scenario coaching him.
Well, as Ramona mentioned, the KD thing, I mean, you certainly have to be nervous. I mean, yeah, you wrapped him up on a long-term deal, but, you know, the Lakers certainly have big fish to fry. They're trying to repeat his championship. So I don't bring him back until, you know, he's 110%, until he's completely ready. And they're keeping afloat right now. They're not in a dire need, but Anthony Davis's health is certainly of much more importance than whether they got to play in a play-in game or not.
Yeah, I do feel good about the Lakers right now in regards to the fact that they're winning the games they need to win against teams that they're clearly better than right now, whether it's the Sacramentos of the world, the Clevelands of the world, the Orlandos and Toronto, obviously, yesterday. But, Mark, you mentioned Kevin Durant, so let's get to the Nets. We'll have some good news and some bad news. The good news is that Kevin Durant is expected to play tonight against the Pelicans on ESPN. KD has missed the last 23 games with a hamstring strain, which included missing the All-Star game. So that's the good news. All right, now for the bad news. James Harden will miss at least 10 days with a right hamstring strain of his own. He'll be reevaluated after that 10-day period. Harden played just 4 minutes before he was ruled out of Monday's game. And if you don't think that matters, Nets fans clearly do. Take a look at this video posted by NBA writer Anthony Puccio. Pooch had this of a James Harden mural being painted across the street from the Barclays Center. So, Mark, what do you think is more important for the Nets, KD's return after a lengthy absence or this new injury to Harden?
Kevin Durant's return is of most importance right now. I went to his last game on February 13 in San Francisco and certainly didn't expect it to be this long. When he had the crazy, sad injury that he had, Zeta Achilles injury, for him to have nearly a two-month absence, it's certainly a huge scare for him and the franchise. So I think that's amazing news that he's back. He gets a chance to play with Blake finally, chance to play with LaMarcus. And, you know, 10 days or a little bit more for Harden and 2 months for Kevin Durant are two different ball games. So it's very important for KD to get this rust off before the playoffs start.
Look, I think it's KD too. I mean, I'd like to see all three of them together at some point, Mark.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At some point, we've got five games, but maybe that's the plan. Like, you know, you hold some stuff back during the regular season so they can't scout you. Okay, kind of doing that unintentionally at this point. But look, James Harden was having an MVP type year. I think he was right smack in the MVP conversation. In his mind, he won it, right? He should win it. I think this probably takes him out of it at this point. He's going to miss 10 days here. This is the finishing kick they needed, that he needed for his MVP case. But the thing about hamstrings, and when you've covered sports long enough, like generally speaking, this pattern where you come back, it's not so bad, you come back, and then all of a sudden 4 minutes in, what happened is you weren't really ready, and you don't know if you're really ready to go full speed because when you accelerate, when you go to that top speed is when you hurt the hamstring again.
Right.
And so if you hurt it once, okay, you can come back and maybe you'll be all right. But if you hurt it again, they got to keep you out a long time because they can't take a chance. If you do it again, now you miss the rest of the year.
Right.
And that's why you have to be so cautious if you're Brooklyn. Actually, I think it's really impressive that they kept Kevin Durant out as long as they did, especially considering how much is at stake for them and how much they need to play together. But they need their guys to be healthy for the playoffs. And so I want to see Kevin Durant out there. He needs to reestablish himself and he needs to reestablish his health. But James Harden is fine.
Just look, I agree with the KD aspect of this, but I'll start with you, Mark, real quick. You know, what do you look at when you see KD's game, an area where you would be worried about? Like, offensively, he's amazing, but I look at his defense and coming back from these injuries being not a challenge, but something that will be a little more difficult for him than it was previously.
Man, he was balling. I don't see anything wrong with his game at all. I mean, if you didn't know that he had gotten hurt previously, you wouldn't have known he gotten hurt. So I think he's just fine. It's just a matter of getting the rust off to me. I see nothing wrong with his game at all. And actually, kudos to him from coming back so amazingly from such a debilitating injury. But I do need Harden back because he's hurting my fantasy team right now.
That's funny. Momo, do you think that he may have any challenges on the defensive end with the limitations that he's had or the injuries that he's had?
I mean, I think it's conditioning, right? You can only simulate so much in practice and in ramping yourself up. But for the hardest part, and when you look at how Harden got hurt, I mean, you just played that clip. You get hurt when you accelerate.
Right.
You get hurt when you take that step to blow by people. Now, James Harden, you know, we don't think of him as quick or fast, but he is.
He gets
by people. And so it's the same thing that Kevin's going to have to deal with when you take that first step past people. That's the challenge, is trusting your hamstring, trusting your body to hold, because that's generally when you see the reoccurrence of an injury.
All right, let's move on to the Warriors. They overcame a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter to beat the Bucks last night at Chase Center. Steph Curry battled through the tailbone injury. Maybe he took my advice with those padding that I showed the other day here on the show. He dropped 41 points, more than double any other Warriors player. To be fair, the Bucks were without Giannis last night. But, Mark, You were in the building for that game. What was the significance of that particular win for the Dubs?
Oh, man, there was such a huge sigh of relief for those guys. I mean, obviously, Giannis didn't play, but Steph Curry and Steve Kerr gave each other a hug that's similar to the hug I'm giving my friends after that have been vaccinated like me, and we've seen each other for the first time over a year.
Yeah.
Like these long embraces, man. And so it was huge for them because they were certainly down and out after their road trip, their horrible road trip. And they come back and they have some winnable games ahead against Washington, Houston, Oklahoma City, and Cleveland in four of the next five games. So right now they're 24-27, but if they could jump off of this win, perhaps they could get back over 500 over these next five games.
But the Warriors, to me, are one of the more interesting teams in the NBA because they really should just punt on this season, right? I mean, you look at Klay's hurt, Steph's got a tailbone. Like, why are you pushing yourself to just make the play-in tournament and probably losing the first round anyway?
Right.
Even if you make it out of the play-in games. But they made a tremendous financial commitment to when they took on Kelly Oubre, and he was the replacement for Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. They had a chance, George, to get off that financial commitment. They had a chance at the trade deadline. They were offered a very good package by Brooklyn. It would have been Spencer Dinwiddie coming to Golden State. It would have saved him $32 million. $32 million.
Right.
Okay? They said no. They still want to win this year.
Because they want to make the playoffs.
They want to make the playoffs. And right. They also believe that they can either keep Kelly Oubre or they can do a sign and trade. They've been doing that every time somebody tries to leave them as a free agent. But that's an organizational philosophy. But that's a huge financial investment for a team that doesn't have fans. That's not bringing in any money into Chase
Center. In a brand new building, they spent a lot of money on.
Building.
Yeah, yeah.
All just
I do think that for James Wiseman, even making a play-in would be amazing for him. I mean, he missed training camp. He didn't have a summer league. So any extra games that he could get at this point, I think is certainly valuable for the Warriors, who expect to be a great team next year. So for them, if they could get Wiseman into the postseason, that is some valuable experience for him and their younger players that could certainly help them next season when they expect to be a power again.
All right. Coming up next, Zion Williamson. Is he meeting or exceeding expectations in year two? We'll break it down next. Zion Williamson dropped 34 points, making this the 13th time he's reached the 30-point mark this season. Last season, he only had three 30-point games. So, Mark, is Zion meeting or exceeding your expectations in year two?
Oh, he's meeting. He had one of the most incredible preseasons before his rookie year, and then he got hurt. So it certainly was a disappointing rookie season. He only played in 24 games. He wasn't rookie of the year. This year, he's an all-star. He's played in 45 games, only missed five. He's got outstanding numbers. So this is what I expected from him. He is the number one pick from 2 years ago. And I even think that more is ahead. But, yes, he's certainly meeting my expectations.
I think he's meeting them and he's starting to exceed them in the way that they are using him now. This is how Zion needed to be used the entire time. He's playing. He's facilitating out there. He's playing like as a point center. Like he's a 280-pound point guard coming down the lane.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see that pass the other day when he threw it like over the – like that bounce pass he threw Lonzo Ball the other day?
Right.
I mean, he grew up as a point guard. A lot of people don't know that that was his background because we focus on – there it is.
Yeah.
Look, that – Zoe would have thrown that pass.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when the Pelicans scouted him, they knew they looked into his background. He grew up as a point guard. We only know about the dunks now because that was the highlight reel and we kind of saw him.
He's so big and strong.
But he is a point guard by nature. And they've started to use him that way. Kudos to Stan Van Gundy for seeing that in him and creating an offense where he can play like that. His last 10 games, George, he's putting up historic numbers. He is only the second player over the last 30 years to average 30 points on 65% shooting in a 10-game span. You know the other two were?
Who?
LeBron James, Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I didn't say rookie.
Right.
Player.
Right.
This is how good he's been.
That's impressive. But to your point, you know, Stan and that group decided to let him face up, right? Create not only for others, but give himself a better opportunity to score for himself as well.
Yep.
So we're seeing kind of the fruits of that labor. So it'll be interesting to see how good Zion can be, man. He has been incredible so far. So, Mark, you've been incredible as always, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, okay?
Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up, after Joel Embiid dominated against the Celtics last night, is there any answer for him in the Eastern Conference? That's coming up next. But first, here's what The Jump recommends today. our buddy Mark and his latest diary with James Wiseman dropped today on The Undefeated. Be sure to check it out. Here's an excerpt from Wiseman talking about his teammates, including a funny story about Draymond Green.
I'm just very happy and very excited for my development so far. I'm getting better each day.
I love James' ability. I think James is going to be a perennial all-star one day. He doesn't know how good he is yet. I mean, who does when they're 19 years old? But he just has physical abilities and talent that you just can't teach.
I mean, huge props to Clay. I mean, he's done it for years. And just having Clay saying that I'm going to be a perennial all-star one day is a huge prop. That's a huge achievement. And that's something that I will accomplish one day. I just have to keep working, to stay humble, and just really just stay the course. And everything's going to work out for the better.
Rebound, Wiseman, yes, and a dunk.
Yeah, Steph off the court gives me a lot of advice. And just like on the court, everything is coming together and we just working hard together. I say Bukuchi, that means like you're welcome. So if somebody say like Zaijin, or if somebody say thank you or goodbye, you can say Bukuchi. That's based like a fundamental term in Chinese language. One story that I like about Draymond is very funny is when he said to me, damn Brooke, catch the damn ball. Draymond, like, he passed the ball, but I didn't catch it. So I missed the pass, and it was a turnover. He said, damn, bro, just catch the damn ball. What are you doing? And he started going off on me. The ref called a tech on Dre, thinking that Dre was talking to the ref, but he was, like, yelling at me. He was not yelling at the ref.
Wow. Draymond is ejected from the game here.
And that was insane.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols. Now joining us here is NBA writer Royce Young. Royce, thank you for hanging out.
You bet.
All right, let's discuss Joel Embiid, who scored 35 points in a win over the Celtics last night, going 16 of 20 from the foul line. Embiid returned to action last weekend, but has missed 12 of Philly's last 15 games with a knee injury. So, Royce, do you think any team in the East has a front court that can match up with a healthy Embiid?
I think the one that kind of would make you think, George, that they could would be Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat, just because of his defensive ability, his defensive versatility. Look, nobody could really match up with Joel Embiid, right? He's too big. He's too versatile. He can score inside. He can score outside. He's got moves for days. So nobody's really going to just match up one for one on him. I think in order to really try to neutralize a guy like Embiid, you got to do a couple things. You got to get him in foul trouble. You got to try to spread the floor on him. You got to try to wear him down. You've got to take all these types of measures. But if you're just going to go man for man on Joel Embiid, you're not stopping the guy. You've got to get creative with defensive schemes. And I'm sure somebody like Steve Nash right now and his staff is sitting there burning the midnight oil trying to figure out, okay, we don't have the personnel to stop this guy, so how are we going to figure out how to do it in a seven-game series if we have to?
So Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni, known for their defensive schemes and abilities.
Wow, the shade continues on this show.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry, guys. You just left that out there.
That's like the third piece of shade you've thrown at somebody on my show today.
They would laugh too. Come on, they would laugh too. But look, you can't stop Joel Embiid. You just have to throw a lot of defenders and different looks at him. The team that has done that really well over the years has actually been Boston.
Right.
But this year, he has demolished them. And yeah. I think, like, if you have the Nets going against him, they're just going to have to send guards to kind of drop down on him, try to poke at the ball as he's in the post. Like, I don't really know how they're going to try to stop him, but it has to be a team defensive effort. That's why you have DeAndre Jordan say, okay, go, just do what you can. You get six fouls, use them. But you have to remember, Joel Embiid, he's not even back yet. Like, he's still playing with that knee brace. He doesn't have as much mobility as he did before the knee injury. When that brace comes off and he's fully back, he's going to be even more dominant in the low post. And the Sixers really have missed him. I mean, this year he has the best record in the league on the court of any player. Okay, they're 26-7 when Joel Embiid plays, 9-9 when he's not out there.
Right.
So he's come back. I think he still has enough time to make up ground of that MVP race. I know that's important to him, but it's also important to them now with James Harden out. They really can solidify that spot atop the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, look, I think that he's clearly, maybe not clearly because Anthony Davis isn't playing yet, but if Anthony Davis is playing, he and Anthony Davis are the two most dynamic big men we have because they play both ends of the floor. As much as I love Jokic, he's not the defensive stalwart that those two guys are. But I'm with Royce on this. I think that if there's any team that could devise a plan to limit him a little bit, because you're not stopping him, you're just trying to contain him a little bit and spread him out, right? Miami's that team. Bam Adebayo can, you know, try his best to match up with him inside. But when Joel likes to go outside, Bam is certainly somebody that can guard him on the perimeter. And we all know Eric Spoelstra, from game to game, probably does the best adjustments of anyone in the sport. So if they matched up against Miami, I don't know, even though they've struggled, the Heat, I don't know how much I would love them in a series like that, Ramona.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have their weights in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Bam's given up some weight there.
Easily 50 pounds.
Right?
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah, 40, 50 pounds.
But yeah, like historically, the way you defend big men like that is you throw another big guy out there, you just fluster him. You do kind of what Dwight did to Jokic last year in the playoffs, where you just try to physical it up, like fluster. Yeah, 20, you physical it up, yeah. Right?
It's 25, I'm being told.
Oh,
25 pounds.
Okay, I don't know if I believe that, but yeah. Okay. But to me, it's like there isn't really a way to stop him. You just have to play good team defense. And that is the challenge for everyone in the Eastern Conference this year. And I think that's to Embiid's credit, because you wouldn't have said that last year.
So let me ask you this, Royce. What about the others, right? Because the others have to play a role here. And Ben Simmons is not another. Ben Simmons is a star. You know, we know what he's capable of. But I'm talking about the rest of that group beyond those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, a big focus for the Sixers over the last few years has been shooting. They've been trying to kind of to complement what Joel Embiid does so well, and also kind of shade a little bit over for what Ben Simmons doesn't do so well, and surround that team with a lot of good shooting. They've looked for more playmaking. I think adding George Hill is actually a really savvy and smart move for them, because George Hill is very versatile on the offensive end. You know, before he was hurt in Oklahoma City this year, George Hill was playing really well, shooting the ball really well. He can handle the ball up front. So they've got some of these guys. Danny Green stepped up in big moments for them already this year and had some big scoring games. They've tried to kind of restructure the kind of offense that they run. They've gotten away from just sort of that inside-out game that they had with Brett Brown and diversify themselves a little more with what Doc Rivers has done with them.
Yeah, Doc deserves a lot of credit for sure. All right, let's move on to the Timberwolves. D'Angelo Russell returned to action on Monday for the first time since February 8th following knee surgery. Russell had 25 points in 24 minutes off the bench. So, Ramona, the Timberwolves have 21 games left this season. How do they work in Russell and Anthony Edwards in that backcourt?
It's really difficult. Now, Chris Finch, when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he said when he took over, one of the biggest things that he had to look at with this team is, what can I affect now? I mean, he's taking over in the middle of a year. They have to change their concept. You have a bunch of young players. Anthony Edwards is a rookie, and as we talked about with James Wiseman, like, they didn't have training camp. They didn't have summer league. So you're learning on the fly, and he essentially simplified everything. And his way of simplifying it was, we're going to play through Karl-Anthony Towns.
Right.
We're going to use Karl-Anthony Towns the way that Denver uses Nikola Jokic. And one of the things that Finch was saying was essentially, when he was in Denver as an assistant there, they actually didn't think that they used Jokic enough.
Right.
And they don't want to make that mistake. So Karl Towns is the key to making this work, because he understands, I got to get Anthony Edwards going, I got to get D'Angelo Russell going, and they have a time limit here. I mean, they're probably going to have either a top three pick in this draft, or if they lose, they're the fourth or fifth pick that will go to the Warriors.
That'll
be disappointing.
Yeah.
But they'll have a decision to make about drafting another point guard. And they obviously chose not to do that this year with LaMelo Ball. They took Anthony Edwards instead. They wanted a wing. But this is a decision that is coming up. So this last bit of the season here with D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Karl Towns, this is your audition. This is your time to say, this group can work.
Royce.
Yeah, you know, kind of based on what, piggybacking off what Ramona said, she makes a great point about Karl Towns and the way that the Wolves have tried to kind of reconfigure their offense. You know, I spent some time with the Wolves before they drafted Anthony Edwards, and, you know, there was a lot of talk about the partnership with Towns and Russell and how they just hadn't had an opportunity to see what that looked like on the floor. And then I talked with Anthony Edwards before the season and kind of what his adjustment was going to look like now that the Wolves brought him in. And he said he was a little uncomfortable with what they were asking him to do. He was relearning some things about how he was trying to be a spot-up shooter. They wanted him to play off the ball more. And guess what happened? D'Angelo Russell's been out. Anthony Edwards got on the ball.
Yep.
And we've really seen him showcase his skills. So like what Ramona's talking about, there's going to be some reconfiguring going on here. And that's where Karl Towns can really be the fulcrum of this offense, to spray the ball out and let Anthony Edwards do what he's good at, which is slashing and scoring, having the ball in his hands, while also maximizing what D'Angelo Russell can do.
I mean, I'm not comparing him to a future Hall of Famer in Dwayne Wade, but, you know, Tom Crean as his coach, looks at, you know, he saw Anthony Edwards and he probably envisioned some Dwayne Wade in him. And when you see his game, you could see the similarities between the two. So I'm with you on that.
He should actually be a college freshman right now.
Right.
Don't forget, he reclassified
to
be in this year's draft. And so he's still so young. D'Angelo Russell drafted as a point guard, kind of more of a combo guard. And so I think if you put Karl Towns in that Jokic role, it opens everything up.
For sure. All right, coming up, we'll discuss Boogie Cousins' debut with the Clippers last night and discuss how much he could impact their title hopes. April is Autism Awareness Month, and jazz forward Joe Ingles' life was changed in January of 2019 when his son Jacob was diagnosed with autism. Joe and his wife Renee are passionate about Jacob's early intervention, attributing to his success. They decided to come out and tell their stories to help other families affected by autism. Our agent Ward Janowski has more on their story.
I told Renee the first day I met her I was going to marry her, and obviously with that was wanting a family, and it was just the most amazing feeling getting to hold them and I guess see what we'd created.
In July of 2016, when twins Jacob and Mila arrived, Renee Ingles was a top netballer in Australia and Joe had a starting role on the Utah Jazz. Two continents, two careers, and the children seem to be flourishing.
Miller's kind of go-getter, wants to do everything, be involved in anything.
Ready?
Move.
Yeah.
She's such a big personality.
Jacob, he loves to know how everything works. He loves to relax and watch TV like his dad. Loves cars, and he's certainly our gentle and affectionate little giant.
The Ingles were told over and over, don't compare the twins, but that was inevitable. And the differences in the two-year-old sibling's development became impossible to miss.
Jacob, we didn't have any communication. He wouldn't look us in the eye. He certainly wasn't making the same sounds and words and noises that Miller was.
Clean up.
Just to see Jacob kind of progressing, not as quick, was when we started to have some concerns.
We found that he was really socially isolated, so we'd go to play groups or activities and all of the kids were down one end enjoying the activity and Jacob was down the other end enjoying an activity on his own.
In January 2019, the Ingles were delivered a diagnosis, autism.
It's one of those things that I guess as a parent, you never want to go through. I'm glad that I had Renee's support, because I was a mess through the whole thing.
The car ride home was really tough. I don't think Joe or I spoke. We just held hands in the front of the car. And I just kept looking back at Jacob going, well, what does this actually mean?
For Jacob, it meant this. More than 20 hours a week in developmental, behavioral, and speech therapy.
Touch your head. Good boy.
Okay, ready.
I remember driving out of here and going to games and crying the whole way there, knowing, like, thinking in my head, like, what am I doing? I shouldn't be playing. I need to be there for Renee. I need to be there for Jacob. I need to be there for Miller. It still, for me, was the hardest kind of 3 months of our lives, trying to focus on basketball.
Ingles had a little hitch on the shot there, and Stevenson the rebound.
Which is probably why I played so bad during that stretch, but it was so irrelevant to me at the time.
I felt like he had a heavy heart. So when he told me, it kind of made sense. He was at a little bit of a loss.
The support that we got when we came out was something we could have never even came close to asking for.
I think over time, especially as he began to communicate more, I was able to, you know, get better for him.
It was like a huge weight was lifted off his shoulder. Once, you know, he kind of let it out, he didn't feel like he was alone.
Jazz people, get on your feet and help us support the families affected by autism by waving your rally towel. Let's turn awareness into action.
That spring, the Jazz had their annual Autism Awareness Night.
The support that, you know, just the community showed for him on that night, you know, was huge. And, you know, we had a lot of teammates, you know, wear the shoes, and it just showed that, you know, he was loved by everybody.
I still remember walking into games and practice and not talking to anybody. To go from that feeling to having 20,000 people, not just supporting me, but supporting autism all around the world. It's probably my favorite NBA game I've ever played in.
After months of therapy, Jacob started to show progress.
It's just unreal, and eye contact. The other day, walking in, waving, saying hello. Hi. We hadn't heard our son's voice for 2 and a bit years, whatever it was, up to that point, and now starting to hear his voice.
We've gone from a little boy who wanted to sit in the corner and play with his cars to a little boy that kisses and cuddles you and playing with his peers and interacting with his adults. He's come so far.
Wonderful story there. Yeah. Thank you to the Ingles family and, of course, Woj for doing that piece as well. Yeah, great story. Coming up, Ja Morant suffered an injury scare last night against the Heat, but he told the Grizz fans after the game, "I'm all good." We'll talk about Ja and the Grizzlies' playing chances next. Stick around. It's crunch time here on The Jump. DeMarcus Cousins made his LA Clippers debut last night and said, quote, "My body feels great. I'm in probably the best shape I've been in my entire career." So, Royce, what's your reaction to Boogie's Clippers debut?
I mean, great to see Boogie on the floor, first of all. I think that everybody, with what he's had to go through over the last few years injury-wise, what he's had to endure, it's great to just see him back out on the court. He's one of the best characters in the NBA. And he was productive too, right? 8 points in 7 minutes, I think. That was a pretty good start for him. And if he can get back to even somewhat of his ability, that's a pretty big boost for that Clipper bench.
He looks like he's in shape too. Just the way he's moving, getting up and down the court. You still see him dragging the leg a little bit, but he looks like he's moving well. And I think that the environment there with the Clippers, playing with Rajon Rondo again, playing for Tyloo, I think it's going to be really good for him.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Rondo part of it, because people forget the Pelicans were good with Rondo, DeMarcus, and Anthony Davis for a minute there. And then obviously everything fall apart for Boogie with his injury situation. So let's switch gears, though, now to games happening tonight. Time for our League Pass game of the night. 9 games on the slate. We have our eye on Ja Morant against the Hawks at 8 Eastern last night, under 3 minutes to play. Ja left the game holding his side and gingerly walking off the floor with what some called back tightness. Here's what Ja said after the game.
"I'm good. I'm a warrior. You know, just had some back tightness. I think like the start of the third, but, you know, felt better. You know, I went out and played. You know, late in the game, it tightened up. And at that point, you know, I kind of knew the game was over, so no need to, you know, just run on it more. It was just tightened up on me, late in that game. I'm all good, though, so Grizz fans, don't panic."
I love that young man. He is so impressive. But, Ramona, how cautious should the Grizzlies be with Ja, considering where they're at in the standings?
You know, look, if he says he's good, I believe him, and I think they need to push right now, but the thing with the back injury is, like, you want to see how you feel in the morning. Like, he was okay that night. We'll see how that feels in the morning, see if it stiffens up a little bit. But I'm excited looking for this game. Atlanta's got it going.
Yeah, they do. Nate McMillan has done a great job there.
Yeah, did you see them last night with all the threes?
Yep, for sure. Royce, what do you think on Ja and the Grizzlies?
Look, obviously, you got to defer to the Grizzlies training staff, their doctors. And if Ja says he's good, then he's good to go. And they do need to make a push, like Ramona said. But this is a long-term thing for the Grizzlies. They're not going to accomplish what they want to accomplish this season, most likely. So you got to be a little bit cautious here and not overextend the young man.
Well, and I think we've clearly seen, to Royce's point, Ramona, that they are going to be cautious. Look at Jaren Jackson Jr., right? Yeah. He hasn't played all season. They have no worries about that. And they still feel like that's going to be the nucleus for them moving forward.
Well, I think, you know, obviously they were disappointed in how last year ended up, right? And Portland jumping ahead of them. And they would love to get their young guys some playoff experience. They would love, even if it's just a game. I mean, but you're, to your point, like, this is about the long haul. This is about 3 years from now, not this year. But I think if Josh says he's all right, I'm going to trust him. I just want to see how he feels when he woke up today.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. And look, he's one of the most explosive, dynamic players we've seen in a long, long time. He's got this Russell Westbrook type. type, you know, twitchy fiber to him, Royce. I'm sure you see that, you know, right away, that comparison. So, all right, we are done here. Royce Young, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Appreciate
you. Bet. My pleasure.
All right, man.
Like
Ramona, thank you for hanging out. Mark Spears, thank you as well. Rachel's back tomorrow, 3 Eastern on ESPN2.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.